When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Does picking an outfit have you running a little too fashionably late? We get it. Great taste takes time. That's why Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery, has your back with the largest selection of beer, wine, and spirits delivered in under 60 minutes. Convenience never goes out of style. So if you need to spend some extra time in the mirror instead of at the store, download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's drizly.com today.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
Buongiorno. This is Marcy Darling, and you're listening to the Pantheon Podcast Network.
History in 5 songs. With host Martin Popoff. A production of Pantheon Podcasts. Let's rock out with Martin.
Yes, indeed. Welcome back again to another episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff, brought to you by the good people at Pantheon. We are pleased, as always, to be part of this vast and always expanding Pantheon Podcast Network. We're available on Spotify, iTunes, Simplecast, and over 40 other podcast platforms. All right, as I do this, just last night, I saw Nick Mason's Saucerful of Secrets. We are a sponsor of that. We've had all sorts of contest things going on and various podcasters showing up at the gigs. I was there taking some testimonials from some of the VIP people before the show. But yeah, I gotta say, just as a quick review, it was an amazing show. Obviously, as you know, the whole idea here is this band plays the Pink Floyd material pre-Dark Side of the Moon. So that's 7 albums and change, I suppose. You know, Relics was mentioned a few times, and there's some non-LP singles and stuff. But yeah, what an amazing show. Get out to see the show if you can. There, as I'm doing this, it is, what is it, October 9th. They're in the middle of the North American tour. They're going through right to, I think it's November 1st. But yes, catch them if you can. I'll tell you another good thing about this show. First of all, it was in Massey Hall, which is our beautiful, beautiful, you know, renovated, awesome story theater here in Toronto. Great venue. But great venue for sound, but I wouldn't give all the credit to the venue. This was probably, you know, one of the very, very greatest sounding concerts I've ever been to. Nick's drums were mic'd and mixed exquisitely. It's pretty cool though. So he talks a fair bit during the show, you know, very soft spoken. But he stands up there with a mic and you know, cracks a few jokes and tells a few stories. But the other guys were amazing as well. You've got Gary Kemp there. He's the Spandau Ballet guy, right? On guitar and vocals. You've got Lee Harris, guitar, Guy Pratt, of course, with the long storied history with Pink Floyd on bass and vocals. You know, he's got a little bit of the Roger Waters to him. Gary maybe has a little bit of the Syd Barrett to him, and Don Becken over on keyboards. And yeah, Nick on drums. So it's a great, great show. Get out to see this if you can. Some of the clips I recorded, hopefully they'll show up, you know, here and there, spiced around other shows as some great testimony. There were some neat things said by by some of these VIPs. All right. So this episode is going to be sort of in tribute as well to Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets. I'm calling this, so this is episode 172, we're calling it Started as Psych. So I just want to look at a few different bands that started as psychedelic rock, why perhaps, what they turned into, and just a little sort of description of what they were doing back in their psychedelic era. You know, this isn't one of my examples, but, you know, one that definitely comes to mind all the time when I think of this is the hilarious, you know, retro little thing in the Spinal Tap documentary of those guys starting as a psych band. That was pretty cool. But, you know, very, very close to that, actually, is my first example here. So take a listen to this. This is Status Quo with Mr. Mind Detector. Okay, so this is from Spare Parts, September 1969. So when we think of the psych era, we think probably more or less 67. 68 has a really good ring to it as the quintessential year for psych. There was a big psych scene in London, and then there was a big psych scene in San Francisco, and you don't really think of too many other places as being sort of psych capitals. And there's a difference between the two that we'll maybe get into a little bit as we go on here. But so Status Quo is an interesting one. Their debut album was called Picturesque Matchstickable Messages from the Status Quo. It was very, very psych. Get a listen to these song titles. So on that album, looks like, total of 12 songs, probably depending on how you slice it. But When My Mind Is Not Live, Ice in the Sun, Gentleman Joe's Sidewalk Cafe, Technicolor Dreams, Spicks and Specks, Sunny Cellophane Skies, Green Tambourine, and Pictures of Matchstick Men, which was their big hit. But I wanted to play something from the second album, Spare Parts, because it also was quite psychy. So Spare Parts came out September 69. Like I say, that's kind of late for psych. We're getting into the idea of progressive rock being born at this point. And I've often said, and other people have said this before, that psychedelic rock, when it went extinct, it turned into exactly two things: progressive rock and heavy metal. And we'll sort of, you know, look at that dimension a little bit as we move on here. But so I wanted to play something from the second album, which is actually still quite psychy. You know, Status Quo had a little bit of the pop to their psych. I mean, pop, of course, is part of psych, but they had some things that were pretty straight pop as well. They had mellow stuff on these albums that sounds like the mellow stuff from later Status Quo albums. But the big change for them came August 1970 with the third album, Ma Kelly's Greasy Spoon, and they never looked back. That's when they became more of a British blues boom band, which is interesting. So so it's kind of rare that you get a psych band that turns into a British blues boom band, because British blues boom was happening at the same time as psych. So it's kind of weird that way. But, you know, you had Free in there as well, you know, to show something that is concurrent with what Status Quo is turning into at this point. So, you know, doing this blues thing, it's kind of a little late for dinner, but then Status Quo really found their trademark sound, which was more of the amped up, you know, quasi heavy metal boogie rock. You know, the big albums being Pile Driver and On the Level and Hello and my favorite Quo. So that whole 72 to about 77 period is sort of classic Status Quo, and that's the stuff I like a lot. But yeah, the debut was September 27th, 68. So it's housed right in there in that exact psych year. All right, let's move on to our next selection. Take a listen to this. This is Golden Earring with I've Just Lost Somebody. Okay, so Golden Earring is an interesting case for this reason. So they start so early that essentially they are more like they're more like a pop psych band or more like a standard pop band. And why are they a little behind the times? Very, very easy reason or very easy answer to that one. They're Dutch. So they're not coming from one of the main, you know, rock centers. So usually when that happens, like these bands are usually a scene or two behind the times. But they are early, and that's the other reason they are like this. So this song that I picked is actually from their third album, Miracle Mirror. You know, the first one's called Just Earrings. 65, Winter Harvest is 67. On the Double is 69. They're still pretty pop psyche at this point. 8 Miles High, I think, is when they really make the change. So it's got the big cover of 8 Miles High on it. Hence the title of the album, but there's other long songs too, and they're getting a little kind of proggier and heavier. Then it's Golden Earring, 1970. Seven Tears is a great album, 1971. You know, these are the ones nobody knows about because they're really kind of rare, and you know they weren't particularly released all over the place. But they become kind of like a hard rocking blues band, a little like Mountain and Cactus, but actually a little more riffy than that. Maybe even a little bit like Budgie or Judas Priest circa Rockarola, that kind of thing. Together comes out in 72, Moon Tan in 73. So that's when kind of like Western people started really knowing who Golden Earring was. But man, that is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 albums into their career. You know, and essentially 73, they're just starting to be known, and they get sort of a hit. There's a corollary to this. This is did I say that right? This is almost exactly like Pink Floyd. You know, we're just talking about Nick Mason, Saucer Full of Secrets, and you know, the fact of the matter is, Dark Side of the Moon is that band's 8th album, and that's the coming out party for them. And obviously, it became a massive, massive album. But here's Golden Earring. You know, similar amount of albums in with Moon Tan being sort of their first hit. So yeah, this I've Just Lost Somebody's song is a good example of them being, you know, poppy, psyche. There's quite a bit of psych across this sort of material, but I find it kind of interesting that they become what they become in terms of this proggy, heavy, almost like a Vertigo Records band for a little while, and then my favorite period of Golden Earring is the sort of that 76 to 84 period where they just become a more modern hard rock band, writing some really, really great songs. Super underrated band. All right, this episode of History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff is sponsored by BetterHelp. Without a healthy mind, being truly happy and at peace is hard. The good news is therapy works. But what is therapy exactly? It's whatever you want it to be. Maybe you're not feeling motivated right now and would like some tools to help. Or maybe you're feeling insecure in relationships or at work, not dealing well with stress. Whatever you need, it's time to stop being ashamed of normal human struggles and start feeling better because you deserve to be happy. And now you don't have to worry about finding an in-person therapist near you to help. BetterHelp is customized online therapy that offers video, phone, and even live chat sessions with your therapist, so you don't have to see anyone on camera if you don't want to. It's much more affordable than in-person therapy, and you can start communicating with your therapist in under 48 hours. Join the millions of people who are seeing what online therapy is really about. It's always a good time to invest in yourself because you are your greatest asset. And special offer to History in 5 Songs with Martin Popoff listeners, you can get 10% off your first month of professional therapy at betterhelp.com/5songs. That's better, HELP.com/5songs. Thanks again to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode.
That cold case you're listening to? Nasty stuff. But you know what else is a crime? Missing even a moment of whatever you're doing to go on a drink run. Luckily, there's Drizly, the number one app for alcohol delivery. With Drizly, you can compare prices on the biggest selection of beer, wine, and spirits, then get them delivered in under 60 minutes. So download the Drizly app or go to drizly.com. That's DRIZLY.com today.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision?
That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
All right, let's move on to our third selection here. In an episode we are calling Started as Psych. This is Deep Purple with Love Help Me.
Bright red flashes in my mind remind me of a forgotten time. The blackened faces, broken romance, blackened faces.
Okay, so this is from the debut album, Shades of Deep Purple, July 17th, 1968. So again, we're right in that psych era perfectly. And, you know, as Ian Gillan and Roger Glover come into the band, they're coming from sort of psych bands as well. But no, this is before them, so this is your Nick Simper, Rod Evans era. And I might add, something that makes this band really psych for these first three albums is Rod Evans' voice. Psych often has that sort of high, fey, you know, pixie dust sort of vocal, you know, maybe a little bit of a Syd Barrett, I suppose, but then it also has this kind of low thing, and Rod Evans is perfect for that. So Shades of Deep Purple, July 1768, Book of Taliesin, October 68. So they get two records out in 68, the prime psych year. And Deep Purple, confusingly, a self-titled, June 21st, 69. So yeah, and you know, they're all very psychedelic covers. They've even got the psychedelic haircuts where it's kind of in between super long and not too long. You know, a little more than the Beatles' haircuts when they got in trouble for having all this long hair, right? They've got, you know, the Carnaby Street sort of a Renaissance fancy jackets on, you know, very, very purple and colorful, very aristocratic looking. Deep Purple uses that Hieronymus Bosch album, that painting, The Garden of Earthly Delights, which is obviously very, very psychedelic. Bosch is like one of the first psychedelic painters, I imagine. But yeah, very, very psych band. And of course, what happens after this is very bizarre. The Deep Purple actually, so Evans and Simper are gone. You've still got Ian Paice, Ritchie Blackmore, and what's his name? Who am I missing here? John Lord. Well, John Lord's another reason this is a pretty psych band, with the Hammond organ stuff. So yeah, you still got those three guys. And then Ian Gillan and Roger Glover come in, but they actually make a classical album. Very weird. And then they're on their way within rock. So here's a psych band that becomes a very resounding, carousing heavy metal, you know, karanging heavy band in rock is probably even heavier than Black Sabbath, Paranoid in 1970, and certainly heavier than Black Sabbath. But, you know, I find this music very, very psychedelic. You know, obviously, they're sort of known to be similar to Vanilla Fudge in that they're heavying up covers a lot as well. They're playing a lot of covers, but all told, it's an extremely psychedelic sound and very psychedelic packaging as well. So there's a band that started psych and went heavy metal. Who else have we had? We've had Status Quo, who went British Blues Boom, and we've had Golden Earring that went hard rock, essentially, right? Okay, take a listen to our fourth selection here. This is Genesis with In the Beginning.
Squirming around and up and down, pushing together, scattering mountains all around you. That is the sound of a newborn world, a light from a curious sky. It has begun. You're in the hands of yes.
All right, so Genesis. This is from the debut album, From Genesis to Revelation, March 7th, 1969. So we're pretty late for psych at this point. This is Peter Gabriel, Tony Banks, Anthony Phillips, Mike Rutherford, and John Silver on drums on every song except one. And this is the album that Genesis fans just kind of snicker at. Okay, so is it psych? I would say it's definitely psych, but it's in that sort of softer, folkier Canterbury prog realm as well. So it's psych, and it's the only time they do this, by the way. So essentially what happens is by the time you get to the second album, which is about a year and three quarters later, Trespass, October 23rd, 1970, they've gone from 13 songs on an album down to 6 songs on an album. And they become essentially a prog band. You know, it's still pretty light. They're definitely at the light end of prog. There's a lot of acoustic guitar in there. But definitely the first album is a psych album. It certainly doesn't look like one. It looks like a religious album, actually. It looks like a Christian rock album, but it also looks kind of heavy metal. It's kind of dark and scary looking, just, you know, the text. I think it's in gold on black, right? So they have that sound. They become a prog band, and lots of psych bands became prog bands. I debated using as an example Yes here. So you've got what the heck is it called? Yes, I think it's just called Yes, right? And then Time in a Word. So you've got those two records. They've got kind of really psychedelic sort of album covers, and then you really get this sort of change in the band's sound to the Yes album. This album, the songs get longer, they become a prog band. Jethro Tull isn't in this discussion. They don't really start as a psych band. They probably more so start as a British blues band. Interestingly enough, Black Sabbath were never a psych band. Even before they were Sabbath, the short-lived history before that first album, but, you know, they were called Earth and then Polka Tuck Blues Band, I guess, at one point. Essentially, though, the idea was that if anything, if you could call them anything before they were a heavy metal band, because they were pretty heavy in 1969, they had a lot of those songs already, you could call them a British blues band. So Sabbath and Tull are actually two bands that really didn't start in the psych realm. But yes, does sort of fit this discussion as well. But this Genesis sound, it's like I say, it's you know what it reminds me of a little bit of very early David Bowie as well, and frankly, you know, mellow Syd Barrett psych as well. So you get that sort of feel as well, although not as fan. It's a little more poppy and structured. I think it's a pretty good album. It's just quite different to what Genesis very quickly became. All right, let's move on to our final selection here. And again, this is in tribute to Nick Mason's Saucer Full of Secrets. Take a listen to this. This is Pink Floyd, Set the Controls for the Heart of the Sun.
Breaking the darkness, waking the grapevine. Why don't you have his? Why don't you shut down?
Okay, so they actually played this song last night. It was pretty amazing. Yeah, those songs, I mean, some of them are, you know, you got to really be into really out there sound effects, psych, ambient music almost to enjoy long passages of what they did there. They did a lot of long things like Echoes. Well, Echoes is entertaining enough, but Saucer Full of Secrets as well. So there was a lot, and, you know, it opened with One of These Days, so, you know, instrumental. But yeah, the neat thing, though, is what they do with that. They're all so adept with getting these strange sounds out of whether it's the guitar or even the bass of Guy. And, of course, keyboards, no problem. And Nick had a gong. He had mallets. So they definitely... And like I say, it was exquisitely mixed. So you really, really got to hear a very high fidelity, yet, you know, full concert volume, version of these things. So yes, this is from A Saucer Full of Secrets. So this is Pink Floyd's second album. It's the second album with Syd Barrett before he checks out of the band. You know, we all know that story. So this is June 20th, 1968. So this, again, is right smack in the middle of the psych year. And I would say you have to give Pink Floyd credit pretty much for inventing psych, at least overseas in the UK, because the debut album, Piper at the Gates of Dawn, is a very psych album with a very psych album cover, you know, the whole double vision sort of picture of the band, and Saucerful is a very psych album cover. But Piper comes out August 5th of 67, so it's coming out in the summer of 67. Now, granted, there is this psych scene going on in San Francisco, and it's kind of going even earlier than that. But it's a kind of psych that, you know, one of the guys I talked to last night put it, nicely, that it was a little more to do with country and folk and bluegrass and things like that over there. It's a little more singer-songwriter-ish than what you got out of, you know, I think there was a little more psychedelic drugs and, you know, mushrooms and acid sort of feel, you know, kaleidoscopic, you know, fanciful lyrics that you got out of English psych and of course certainly Syd Barrett. So what does Pink Floyd turn into? So the funny thing here is that they're psych on the first album, they're psych on the second album. I would say they're pretty darn psych on More. You know, this is kind of a movie soundtracky album. June 13th, 69, Amagama is the big weird one with, you know, the live stuff and then the really out there material, kind of soloish material from the guys. November 7th, 69. Adam Hart Mother, October 2nd, 1970. They're still psych, I think, at this point. There's even a song in there called Alan's Psychedelic Breakfast, right? So the odd thing about Pink Floyd is that they really dedicated themselves to psych. They were psych for, what is that, 5-ish albums or so, right? So 5, 6, 7, yeah, that works out. So yeah, like I say, Dark Side of the Moon is the 8th album. They don't really become... Pink Floyd. I mean, essentially, I was going to say prog, but Pink Floyd is quite outside of the prog experience, I find. So they don't really become, you know, into the Pink Floyd sound until Obscured with Clouds and Metal, I think. You know, Metal is kind of considered, you know, a real sort of blueprint for the mean median average of Dark Side and Wish You Were Here and maybe a little Animals in there with... you know, it's quite it's very mellow. It's quite folky. But you know, it's got the super long echoes on it and stuff. So yeah, there are 8 records before Dark Side, and I would say fully 5 of them are psych. But like I say, I mean, they get so out there and so strange with what they do. It's psych, but it's, you can mix in ambient. You could even throw in the term krautrock. For some of that stuff. But the first two with Syd, you know, God love him. I mean, he was celebrated greatly last night at this show. You know, everybody talked about him warmly. But yeah, the first two are quintessential and almost the, you know, the inventive albums of psych. So there you go. There are 5 bands that started as psych and went totally somewhere else. Let me know, you know, over at our thriving Facebook page, who I've left out. If you like the show and want to support future episodes, please go to Ko-fi, rhymeswithnofee.com. /MartinPopoff, hit that red support button, buy me a coffee or a pint. On that count this week, I would like to thank, this is actually 2 weeks worth because long story, I went down to the Sea of Tranquility Fest. So I was away for 5 or 6 days. And the last episode I recorded quite a few days even before I left. So this is kind of 2 weeks worth of names here. But thank you all, Benjamin Adler, Joe Beck to Bel Air Expediting, Bruce Campbell, David Fisher. Man, I know some of you guys have you know, stepped up to the plate 2 or 3 times in this last 2 weeks. So thank you for that. David Fisher, Augustine Garcia de Paredes, Steve Polari, Brian Sager, Steven Samchuk, Scott Smith, Carlos Alberto Pampa Tovar, and Vinyl Resting Place. Thank you all. And yeah, martinpopoff.com. The latest stuff that just came in is the Alice Cooper, you know, the breaking up of the old Alice Cooper book into trade paperbacks, Easy Action, the original Alice Cooper band, and Feed My Frankenstein, Alice Cooper, the solo years, and my Damned book where I break down every single Damned song came in. If that book doesn't, you know, if you're not a fan now, that book will turn you into a fan. I loved writing that book. It's one of the ones I'm most proud of. So that's called Lively Arts, The Damned Deconstructed. That's all at martinpopoff.com. And of course, martinpopoff.ca and my ArtPal site for the illustrating I'm doing. Actually, you know, part of the Sea of Tranquility Fest, I basically went to Washington and went around the art galleries for 3 days. So I'm trying to get more, you know, more motivated to take that up to the next level and start moving away from, you know, drawing rock stars and stuff and getting back into art like I was in the 90s sort of thing. So, oh yeah, one other thing I wanted to mention, because I really should be doing this, right? I wanted to just go through, you know, a couple of the things, comments on the episode of Chorus First. I think that was the last episode. Yeah. And let's see. So I'm looking on the History in Five Songs. Let's see. Lee Jones said someone once memorable said that this kind of song arrangement is like getting to the dessert before you've even had the starter. Just wrong. CJ Socia wrote, just popped it in my iPod. Did I say that wrong, CJ? I know it's hard pronouncing your name. Going out for groceries soon. We'll listen on my drive. Steve Bellow says, interesting episode. I hate mentioning Bon Jovi, but You Give Love a Bad Name starts with an a cappella chorus right away. Also might be a stretch, but Slick Black Cadillac by Quiet Riot, same a cappella opener. Same with In My Dreams by Dawkins. Yeah, that's really cool, Steve. Thanks for that. Let's see. Rodrigo mentions Can I Play With Madness? Yeah. So Iron Maiden, big song there. Let's see. Pat Benatar, Shadow of the Night. I can't picture that one in my head. Sweet Emotion. I think I might have mentioned that one. Let's see. What else we got here? Faster Pussycat. Cats Nonstop to Nowhere is another interesting example. A cappella with female vocals to start the song. David Moore says, hi from Tasmania, Australia. Cold Chisel is generally regarded as Australia's biggest band that never made it in North America. The first track on their 1982 album, Circus Animals, is You Got Nothing I Want, which explodes straight into the chorus. Lyrically, it's an angry song about a bad experience they had with their American manager on a tour preceding the recording of the album. Don writes, we're going to hold on, George Jones and Tammy Wynette, After the Fire's Gone and Louisiana Woman, Mississippi Man, Conway Twitty and Loretta Lynn. Let's see. Might be a very common practice in old country duets. Very nice, Don. Very cool. Let's see. Daryl Gromick writes, Heavy Tonight, or Heaven Tonight by Malmsteen. Yeah, I can picture that in my head. It's not a full chorus, kind of a partial chorus, I guess, with Joe Lynn Turner singing a cappella. John Clark writes, Fat Bottom Girls and Bicycle Race. There's two for the price of one. Very cool. And, you know, I think when I posted this to one of the Cheap Trick sites, and mentioned Dream Police and Voices, somebody mentioned that most of the songs on Dream Police apparently start just with the chorus. That I found really cool. I didn't bother to go check it out, but that's really cool. So, and then I think someone else intimated that Cheap Trick actually did that a lot. But yeah, that was, I guess, one of the bands I was semi-remiss in not really going through and checking them all on. But yeah, there's some other good examples for you. We'll leave it at that. Thanks again for visiting for episode 172, Started as Psych. We will talk to you again next time.
Find all of our shows, notes, social, and links at www.pantheonpodcast.com. or wherever you listen to great podcasts. All songs can be found for purchase on iTunes, Spotify, or Google Play. Please purchase these great and important tracks. Find us on Facebook at The RNRAP. We are on Instagram at RNR Archaeology. Tweet us at RNR Archaeology.
Splash Weather Repel Premium Windshield Wash features a 3-in-1 formula that repels rain, sleet, snow, and bugs while leaving a streak-free shine. And its advanced beading technology keeps you seeing safely all year long.
See safely on the road when you apply a little splash.
Pick some up at Walmart today.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up for lead guitar. You're in.
Cool.
Yep, even easier than that. And with no fees or minimums on checking and savings accounts, is it even a decision? That's banking reimagined. What's in your wallet?
Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. member FDIC.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.